At that point in time, I was filming it was a showcase of some sort, and Rachel had already played, Kelly Loder had already played, and in the middle of Ian Foster's set, Emma and Liz come in, and they're like, "We just got signed to a record label," and I'm like, "We as in two of you, or we as in the band?"
I grew up just like any other kid in Newport, Newfoundland. Around, on, and sometimes even in the water. I grew up wanting to be a sailor, just like my father. I eventually sailed on ships all over the world for 20 years. Then I met this guy, Greg Wells. He bought a 100-year-old church in my hometown. Along with a great team of people, you'll see very special things happening there. My name is Ryan Gates. This is my hometown of Winterton, Newfoundland. This is Downey's Bank, Silly Cove Records Podcast. Okay, folks, welcome to another episode, episode 10 of the Downey's Bank Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Gates. I am A&R with Silly Cove Records, record label owned and operated by Greg Wells out of Trinity Hall in Winterton, Newfoundland, one of three of us who work for Silly Cove Records. Joining me today is the first time I've actually had more than one person on the podcast, and I really might have bit off more than I can chew here, but we've got the lovely and talented young ladies of the band Amity. Welcome to the show, girls. This is where somebody says something.
Thank you so much
for inviting me.
We're off to a great start, a torrid start here. Holy hell. All right. So I got to get this party started. We got to talk about who you guys are, where you're from, all that good stuff. I'm going to kick it over to Hillary first, and okay, you can give me the rundown on who, what, when, where, why of the band.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Hillary. That's what I just said. And I'm from a little town called Redhead Cove. And in my brain, this band was started way before anyone actually said it was started. Because I was always looking for a little band to be in. And I was always singing with Emma. I was always singing with Lissa, because we've all been friends all throughout high school. But the band started officially in June of 2023 at Trinity Hall when we opened for Rachel Cousins. And since then, we've just been singing little songs. We've been writing little songs, performing little songs. That's my lowdown of the band.
How about you, That's Alyssa? What we Where are you from? Who knit you? All that good stuff.
I'm from Northern Bay. My parents knit me.
Fair enough.
I love my little band with my friends. That's all I got to say.
That's all I have to say about that. This is going to be a really short podcast. Emma, where are you from? What do you got to say about your bandmates?
Okay. I'm from Old Pearlkin. Really awesome spot, not much to do other than go out in the bunker, my pop shed, and write songs with my friends. And it's always a good time, and we love it, and we always cook up some good stuff for sure.
Yeah, no, fair enough. So the obvious reason why I got you on here this evening, we've been trying to do this for a while, and it's you guys have a busier schedule than me somehow. I don't recall when I was your age, I don't recall having anything to do at all ever. But we've been trying to get all three together for some time, and it just kind of came together last minute here in the last day or so to pull this little podcast off. So you guys are signees to Silly Cove Records. Oddly enough, you're not our youngest signee, but you're very, very close. You three are in your last year of high school, correct? At Bacaloo Collegiate in Old Pearlkin. Yep. So graduation is just around the corner, but that's not what we're here to talk about, at least not right away. I want to talk about the record deal. So you guys ended up on the label with Silly Cove Records. Before we get to that, I think, and this is a great opportunity because I'm actually repping my merch tonight. You see this one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
So the band Amity, I'll give you the Silly Cove Records backstory. The band Amity doesn't exist in part without Courtney Wicks. When we were looking for an opener for the Rachel Cousins show, and that was our very first show at Trinity Hall, our first ticketed show. Oddly enough, Courtney Wicks was our first show. She had her album release party there. But our first actual ticketed event where we sold tickets was the Rachel Cousins show. And we needed an opener. And because I was doing the A&R thing, a bunch of people had sent me all kinds of different stuff. And I believe it was one of your teachers, Miss Reed, had sent me a video clip of Emma singing at a show that she had just attended. Where would that have been, Emma? You pulled together your own.
It would have been at the Church in Old Parochial in St. Andrews by the Sea.
Right. That's where you guys did your Christmas show too, right? So she sent me a video because she said, this young girl, blah, blah, blah. And, no reference, of course, to the Rachel show, but just said, yeah, you should keep an eye on this girl. She's a really good singer. I just seen her show. It was really good. And she sent me a clip. And I said, oh, yeah, that is quite good. So when we were looking for an opener, I mentioned that Miss Reed, Miss Denise Reed, we're talking about, of course, for anybody from wondering.
Shout out.
Yeah, big time shout out because again, doesn't happen without everyone pulling in the right direction here. So I mentioned it in our meeting with the Trinity Hall board that maybe this young girl from Opelika might be good. I don't know. I didn't know any of you guys. And Courtney immediately piped up and she said, "Yes," she said, "I agree." However, she said she's got two really great friends who I think played at that show with her as well. Just did some numbers as part of the show. And I think it would be awesome if we had all three of them come up and perform. Now, my initial thought was, okay, three of them perform. I was thinking individually. When Courtney reached out to you guys, it just automatically became, okay, yeah, we'll come up and we'll perform together. And that's kind of how it all came together on the Trinity Hall side. Reached out to Rachel and asked her if she had any issue, and she's like, no, young artists love it, love the idea, love everything about it. So, which is not a surprise to anybody. She's awesome. But that's where it began on the Silly Cove Records side. So shortly after that show was over, Greg Wells, we're talking about the producer and owner of Silly Cove Records, saw a clip from the show, and he's like, "Wow, those girls were pretty good." And I was like, "Yeah, no, they were really great." He's like, "Okay, interesting." He didn't say anything else, and time elapsed, and you guys ended up performing at Trinity Hall again. Do you remember the second time when Greg was there? And
Yes,
let
it was the birthday bash.
exactly.
Birthday.
So do you remember, Emma, do you remember anything Greg had to say after you guys performed at the birthday bash? Because you guys weren't supposed to perform at the birthday bash, if you remember.
No, we weren't, because Ryan likes to pick on us and make us stress a little bit. So when we were there with the media team, and he sent us a little message. He's like, "Hey, just bring your guitar just in case, if see if you know you might need it." We're like, okay. We show up. The first thing he has to say to us is, "Yeah, you guys are going to perform tonight. Not do you want to? It's yeah, you're going to do that." So we're like, "Okay, I guess this is our life now. We're going to do that." Perform in front of Greg Wells very casually, a couple hours in advance. Anyways, yeah, we got up and did that. And Greg had some great things to say after he got up on the stage. I want to say I remember exactly what he said, but I don't want to like say the wrong words, so I don't know if I know exactly what he said. Do you know, Ryan?
I don't know exactly either, but it was something along the lines of what you guys just witnessed here is not normal. There's nothing normal about it. This is actually exceptionally good, and these girls got a very bright future if they choose to do so. If they choose to not do so, that's quite okay too. It was something along those lines. And it was shortly thereafter that I mean, we had the birthday bash went and came and went, and Greg flew off to Los Angeles again like the next day. Oddly enough, I think you guys filled in at the birthday bash for one Rachel Cousins who was sick, if you remember. So Rachel plays a big part in this story.
It was very ironic. I remember thinking that, like, as soon as you sent the message, I was like, "Now Rachel's sick, and now we're singing as if we didn't sing at her show the first time, you know?"
Yeah, it's all very serendipitous. A lot of things with Silly Cove Records have been, but anyway, here we are. So again, Greg on his jumps on the plane, heads back to LA, and then it's back to business as usual for the band Amity. You guys got a good kick in the pants there, and you guys started playing a few shows. Alyssa, do you remember the first couple of shows you played, or outside of Trinity Hall, obviously? I mean, you guys had done, I think you did an outdoor gig in Harbor Grace shortly thereafter. You did a few more events. You want to just talk on some of the stuff you guys have done shortly thereafter you formed this band?
So We had a very busy summer. We had a lot of people reach out to us asking for gigs, and we did a book signing, which I thought was pretty cool, at the old courthouse in Harbor Grace. We did an outside show in Harbor Grace. We attended the Quilt Festival in Batey Vert. That was very cool. And I find we had a lot of very, very, very positive feedback. People liked that we were three young girls that started off as friends, and we got out there into the performing, I guess. I wouldn't say business or industry, but you know what I mean, through Trinity Hall, and we were just three friends who wanted to give it a go, and how we kind of took off. And I feel like people really enjoyed seeing that and enjoyed seeing new young people out there.
Yeah, no, and it's funny you say not in the industry because you're right. When you start off, everyone starts somewhere, I guess, and that goes for any job or anything you like. As even as an athlete, I know Emma plays a lot of volleyball and whatnot. Like when you start off, you're not any good, realistically. But when you guys started off together, you had already, you'd already gotten the skills you needed as individual artists, so you didn't have to worry about that aspect of it. But blending you guys together and then stepping out into the limelight, or for lack of a better word, locally, kind of putting yourselves out there. Yeah, everything that we were hearing too was, positive responses. I know in particular one thing that that I know was probably stand out for you guys was an Inner Sister show. And Hillary, you want to talk about that one for me?
I do. So shortly after we sang at Trinity Hall with Rachel Cousins, we got the invite long before we even sang at the Rachel Cousins show. And it was to do a show called Heart for the Arts up in the Sheila Nagira Theater in Carbonear. And so the big, like, show-stopping event of that whole concert was that the Enna Sisters were performing and closing it out. And then for me, I've listened to the Enna Sisters my whole life. Like, I've listened to, like, Morning Brew all the time with my parents. So the Enna Sisters are obviously a household name for everybody in Newfoundland at this point, I imagine. And we performed, and then the act immediately after us were the Enna Sisters. So we met them in passing when we were coming off the stage. They were going on, and I can't remember exactly what they said because I'm so horrible and I just blank out when I get excited, and then I don't remember anything. But to my knowledge, they had public praise for Amity. But at that point, we weren't even really Amity because we didn't have a name. So it was this nameless band of teenage girls from down the shore who were just getting together and singing songs. And the Enna Sisters were all over it, which was pretty cool because we had only done really three gigs, two official gigs at that point in time. So
And
it was definitely a standout moment.
what really stands out to me about that show, I wasn't there, but I've seen some clips and all the people who weren't supposed to be recording at the Sheila Nagara who did, thankfully. You know what happens, go figure.
That was my mother.
No, yeah, 100% your mother, guaranteed. She's like, the rules were made for breaking. But yeah, no, a lot of people have drawn a lot of comparisons to you guys. When you're talking about living legends, the Enna Sisters are right there. I mean, like, there's very few acts in Newfoundland outside of the obvious being like Alan Doyle slash Great Big Sea and maybe the Celtic Connection to a certain degree and the Irish Descendants, but there's very few names of bands or people who are still active who even can remotely compare to the Enna Sisters. So for you guys to be drawn those kind of comparisons, there's obvious reason for the comparisons. Three girls, three-part harmony is a big part of what you guys do. But I mean, you got to be floored by even getting that kind of comparison early on, eh?
Yeah, well, it is kind of like the highest praise. And I always thought the most impressive thing about it was that we were completely different genres. But you still kind of had the same energy being brought by two totally different bands. It's pretty neat. Like, honestly, like, you get three 16, 17-year-old girls in a circle just getting together singing songs. The last thing you expect is for someone to call you the next Enna Sisters. Or maybe that's not a good term, but like, they do like compare to the Enna Sisters. And I've heard
Well,
the
listen,
Dixie
you can
Chicks a
say
few
that because I've
times.
heard it's not just one or two people who've said that. That's been mentioned on on Dean Clark's radio show. It's been mentioned on Facebook posts. It's been people actively are comparing you guys to the Enna Sisters, saying that the way you guys perform could very well be the next Enna Sisters. And And I'm totally biased, obviously, but I don't disagree. You guys got a really cool thing going on, and you're right, the differences in genre is what'll separate you and make you your own thing. But just drawing that comparison early on, man, what a great feel. I don't want
Mind-blowing.
to, no question. I don't want to dwell on that now. We got to continue moving on because I want to talk about. Okay, so we've progressed through the summer, and you've guys done 700 gigs, two of which you probably got paid for. Like things are moving along. That's what everybody starts out doing, right? But you get to Music and All Week, and I'm going to tell you behind the scenes. Shortly thereafter, again the birthday bash. Shortly thereafter, I reached out to Greg, and I'm like, "So these girls are thinking about recording something somewhere, maybe with a Dave Fitzpatrick or maybe with a Robert Kelly or maybe like some of these local producers." And Greg, in no uncertain terms, said, "You tell all those guys to keep their hands off." So I laughed and I said, "So you like them?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "They're absolutely fantastic." He said, I just love everything about them." I said, "Do you want me to reach out and see if they're interested?" He said, "Nope, not yet." He said, "But I do want to talk to them." And I remember we got in a quick group chat, which very, very quickly got out of control. But anyway, that's just your guys' personality. But in said chat, Greg said the words. He said, "Write me," because he had heard you guys sing a song called "Best Part of You" at the birthday bash. And he said, "If you can write nine more like that," he said, "I'll produce an album for you." Now, so at that point, you still don't have a record deal or record contract. But that was just kind of, I remember the look on your guys' face. When he was kicking these comments around, and it's pretty surreal feeling. So anyway, fast forward, not much is happening in the next month or two because guys hadn't been at Trinity Hall, Greg hadn't been around. We had lots of things happening at Silly Cove Records anyway to keep us occupied. But Music and All Week rolls around, and the budding young students that you are were in as part of your media project covering the event, and there was an interview where you had an opportunity to record part of an interview with Greg Wells. And I believe that might have been the moment you came to find out you were going to be Silly Cove Records recording artist. And I'll let Emma elaborate on that.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about this. Well, so we manifested this, okay? Like, I need to tell you that we manifested this because before we were even an official band, we went to one of Greg Wells, oh my God, what are they called? Is
Workshop.
when he was
It was a
talking and
workshop.
telling him about his workshop. One of Greg's workshops, and we had this mentality, we're like, we're gonna get in on this. I wanna get in on all this kind of stuff. And we were just saying this stuff as if it was just like, yeah, we're gonna do it. This is gonna happen. And like we were half joking, but like, of course he wanted it. Anyways, then a month passed after that, and we ended up singing there with Rachel, which was so sick. And anyways, fast forward to Music and L Week, where we were in as part of the media crew with Scott Legg. And we were divided into groups, and me and Alyssa were in the same group with some people from some students from Roncalli, and Hill wasn't even in our group, but we had the job of recording Greg's interview that he was doing. So we were there on the camera with our little headphones on. We're like, "Oh my God, it's Greg Wells!" Like typical like fan behavior, like a bunch of nerds. Anyways. We were fangirling a little bit, but we had met him at this point, so it was definitely chiller. So we're just there on the cameras being quiet, like we're supposed to, with our little headphones on. He's talking about, how Trinity Hall came to be and SCR and all that good stuff. So we're there taking it all in. And then he's talking about people being signed to the label, and he's like, "Yeah, we have this artist and that artist, signed to the label. We also have There's two girls behind the camera right now that are also signed to the label." And then he stops for a second and he goes, "They don't know it yet, but as of now they are." And we're behind the camera and we have to be quiet. Like we're there doing media. Like we can't just like start talking and interrupt the interview. So me and Alyssa are looking at each other like, "Oh my God, what just happened? Oh my God." And we just sit there for like, I'd say another half an hour at least, just in complete silence, watching the rest of this interview. And then the interview ends, the cameras turn off, blah, blah, blah. And he goes to walk away. And me and Alyssa are like, "No. Like, this is not how this is going to go down." So we walk up there and we're like, You can't just say something like that casually to us. You know nothing is casual with us. Like, really. And he's like, well, do you want to be signed? And we look at him as if that was like the stupidest question anybody could ever ask. And we're just like, yeah, duh. He's like, okay, well, you're signed now. That's what he said. I mean, also we're like jumping up and down, like clapping our hands, like a bunch of
I said,
children.
this is
And
what I
then
said. Can I call my mom? Can I tell my mom? That's what I said.
it was crazy. And Hillary, poor Hill, didn't find out. I'd say at least half an hour to an hour later. And we
No, it
were,
had to
it
be
was a,
over an hour, man. Because I was at that point in time, I was filming it was a showcase of some sort, and Rachel had already played, Kelly Loder had already played, and in the middle of Ian Foster's set, Emma and Liz come in, and they're like, "We just got signed to a record label," and I'm like we as in two of you, or we as in the band?" And so here I am. And I'm like super emotional, like there's just something strange about me. So I'm there, I'm trying to get the camera ready. I don't know anything about cameras. The poor fellas from Roncalli are looking at me, being like, "What is wrong with this girl? This the camera's overheating. It's gonna blow up. It's not in focus." And I'm just here, like half a tear
Sounds like
rolling down
Emma.
my face. And then that's how I found out. And at that point in time, you, Ryan, were sat down at a table with Greg and Summer's family and Summer and Dean Clark. And I was just trying not to freak out. And then the Navigators came on and they were like doing a Bruno Mars song or something like that. And
Listen,
I was
I gotta
like, that was
mention
impossible to
something.
focus.
Go ahead, Emma.
I gotta mention this, okay? We're going back to manifestation, okay? So this whole weekend in the Music Canal, we were listening to a song, and it's by LMFAO. Yes, LMFAO. And it's called Yes. And the first words in the song are, it just repeats it over and over again. Like it's like a mantra. It gets stuck in your head. It's every day I see my dream. Every day I see my dream. Okay. We were listening to this on repeat, on loop, the entire weekend. Guess what happens? We get signed to SCR. Tell me that's not a coincidence. This is
LMFAO
manifestation
got us
here,
signed.
people. Thousand percent.
You guys
Thousand
got
percent.
all the Hollywood connections.
True.
I'll tell you, I wasn't there when said because I was on my way and I was late. I was on my way in from Round Bay to Music NL, and Kevin called me and I was just passing like what used to be Islander RV, like where all the transport trucks are on the highway there, like the Akita equipment is what it is now. I was just passing that on my way to downtown, and Kevin was like. It was odd for Kevin to call me anyways. I knew he was there. He said, "You'll never guess what happened." I was like, "What?" He said, "I think Greg just signed Amity to a record deal." I was like, "Man, he was gonna hold out. He was making, he wanted to keep him hungry and everything else, right?" I was like, "Hey, what happened?" He said, "Well, I," th he said, "I," he said, "Emma almost passed out." He said, "I was actually concerned that she was actually going to pass out. She, I," he said, "I was watching her." And he said, "I was like ready to go over and catch her when she fell. I thought she was going to die." So yeah, that's when I heard first, and then and the funny thing was I didn't see you guys until like well, it was after the showcases were over. Like to your point, Hillary, I did see you on the camera at the Navigators thing, but I didn't see you guys. Didn't get a chance to speak to you guys until after the fact, and that's a really really cool moment for me too. Just because I've got the privilege several times with Silly Club Records to call people and let them know. That if they are interested, that Greg would like to produce for him, and it's almost always the same answer, elation, just wrapped up in a different bow. But I got to offer the gig to Courtney, which was a big deal for me because I've known her since she was a little girl, and the same with Rachel and blah blah blah. So like it's been really really fun, and to see Greg do it the way he chose to because. While Greg sometimes kind of appears like he's kind of going off the cuff, everything is calculated. He's a very intelligent dude, as you guys know, so he knew what he was doing, right? And it was I just thought, I was like, yeah, that's the most Silly Cove Records way to do anything, really, because that's how we roll, right? So very cool, and I love that story too. But we got to continue on. So you guys are Silly Cove Records artists. Congratulations. I've had a lot of fun working with you guys so far. Your first big project with Silly Cove Records, you got to record a Christmas song. I'm going to throw it over to Alyssa. Why that song, and what was your that was your first real recording experience? What do you take away from that?
When we got together, we were like, oh my God, what kind of song are we going to do for this? Are we going to do something sad? Are we going to do something cheerful and jolly? And I think even we were in the group chat with you and we were asking for suggestions, and you were like, you guys got to do like a All I Want for Christmas Is You, like this kind of stuff. And we were like, I don't know, man. And we were sat down in the bunker and we had all the lights on and we were feeling really jolly and really sentimental. And we were like, we have to do Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It's a classic. And I feel like, especially my family, we listen to the classic Christmas songs a lot. And there's something about the old fashioned style singing and the music. And we were like, we have to do this song and we need Greg to load it with steel guitar. And when we mentioned that we wanted to do the song, our only request was steel guitar. And we were stuck on that.
Well, that's the artistry shining through because we're going to fast forward because this is our next topic, but you guys got a single coming out really soon. June 7th, your debut single is coming out. But before we get into that, I had a message just yesterday about said single, and a guy asking me, when's this coming? Is there a press release coming for this? Blah blah blah. And of course there is. And that was Zach Snow. You guys have seen Zach's stuff on the Musical Connections podcast, and he's actually a big fan because that's exactly what he said. He said if the Christmas song, he said, is any indication, he said, I cannot wait. And my response to Zach was, and to the rest of the world, is that the Christmas song doesn't hold a candle to the original material. That's
Oh my
no
gosh.
knock on the Christmas song. I loved it. It's one of my favorite tracks on the album. Your guys' arrangement of it, why you wanted steel guitar is beyond me, but it was perfect because you had one of the best producers on the planet throw it in there for you at your request. And it's a killer track. All those tracks will be available on Spotify this coming Christmas, by the way, for those of you who are curious. We'll be throwing it out there to the world. We raised a ton of money, which will be announced very shortly at the Janeway Telethon.
Yay.
But the world will get to enjoy that track as well soon. But fast forward to present day. Here we are, the band Amity, almost a year old, recorded their debut single. First and foremost, I want to kick it over to Hillary to talk a little bit about your recording experience with Mr. Feener. Now, I want to talk about, of course, you can talk about the Christmas album song or your debut or a combination of, but how have you found working with Mark so far? Because he's taken a keen interest in you guys as well.
Oh my gosh, Mark has the most patience in the world, first of all, because I don't know if it's like common for Mark at all to work with people who've never stepped in front of a recording microphone in their lives. But we, especially when we did the Christmas song, we recorded our Christmas song at Trinity Hall, and we walked in 8:30 in the morning, frightened to death, shaking in our boots over this. And we stepped out, and I played guitar on the track. I was the only one who played guitar. And I was trying to make my chords, and like I could look down and my hands were shaking, and I was like totally gone over this recording business. And Mark Feener made it perfect. I would mess up, it would be awful. And he'd say, Hillary, you know what? It's not a big deal. We'll delete it. And he said that about 8 times. And every single time it was with the same kind of tone. Like he should have been mad. He was not.
Yeah.
But he's so unbelievably creative and brilliant. And in our debut single, Best Part of You, he had aspects added into the song, like different harmonies, but I'm not gonna give any spoilers because it should be a surprise. That I never would have thought of in the writing process, nor would I have thought of it if we were recording it on our own, or even when we're performing it live. Like it just wouldn't have popped into my head, but the man is just brilliant. And I honestly, I can't imagine anyone else to actually record our vocals at this point because he's just so good.
Yeah. Anything else for the rest of you guys? I'm Mark. By all means, we don't mind pumping Mark's tires. He's a volunteer with Silly Cove Records as well. Mark doesn't ask for anything out of this. He's same as Greg, same as myself. He comes on board and gives of his time and his. I mean, Mark owns more equipment than it's scary. He's a total gear nut, but you're right. He's a very intelligent guy as well, and he knows music and he knows sound and he's well on his way to being one of the top producers in Canada, I think. I think, he's only been in that producer role for a short time, relatively speaking, but he's turning out some amazing stuff. So I'll throw it over to Emma. Anything you take away from your time with Mark?
Well, I mean, everything that Hill said, 1,000%. When we recorded Best Part of You, we were in the studio for a long time that day. Very long session. Of course, at the start, we were, a little nervous, even though we had recorded our Christmas song before. It was just a different atmosphere when you're actually in a studio recording rather than Trinity Hall, because that's where we recorded our Christmas song. So it was hard to get used to the equipment, and it was just a bit different. Of course, he made it super easy and he explained it all to us. We started off pretty nervous, and then as the night went on, and the later it got, and the more sleep deprived we all realized that we were, it was just like, it was just like foolishness. Like, we would go to singing and we were just like giggling, and Mark was giggling, and we're just having a good time. So it's like, this guy's professional. Like, he knows what he's doing, of course. He's very talented. But he makes this really comfortable environment for you to mess up and try again and mess up and try again. I think that's like so freaking valuable. So big thank you to Mark. You're
Absolutely.
awesome.
No, I didn't get in for your guys' recording. I was working at the time, but I did get in for a recent recording that he did with Julia Dawson, who again her very first time in studio, handled like a champ as you can expect. But again, to Hillary's point, I don't know how much Mark has done with brand new artists, people who've never been recorded before, but it could easily be his specialty because he just drags the absolute best of the people. He makes you feel comfortable. I've often described Mark as like the human version of a Labrador Retriever. You know what I mean? Like he's
Yeah.
just like he's super chill and it's just time. Just let's just take our time and do our thing. And yeah, I love Feener. He's great. He's great. So I want Alyssa to talk some about the debut single, about where it came from, where the initial concept of the song came from, the lyrics. Like how did you guys go about building up this song?
So we this all started when we were invited to sing at Trinity Hall, and we got together pretty on the fly, and we never wrote songs together before or anything like that. And actually, I think it was Hillary, you came in with like a little guitar part. I was actually homesick because that's how I roll. I'm sick every week. Anyway, we got together in the bunker. And we were just terrified. We had no idea what to do. And so someone came in with these lyrics, and we were like, we never ever wrote a breakup song. What are we doing right now? We wrote the song for Trinity Hall. And I don't know, we kind of went on the fly with it all. It was pretty ironic.
I think I actually have the first voice recording, not of
Oh
us
my
singing
God.
it,
Yeah.
but so I have Best Part of You in my voice memos from January 28th, 2023. And so I had so you can ask Emma and listen to this. I come in to write songs, but I don't come in with words. I come in with melodies and I come in with vowel sounds. And that's about it. Do you mind if I play like the first recording that I brought in and how it's absolutely nothing compared to the song? But
Yeah,
allow.
do it.
Sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can hear
Okay,
you.
I'm gonna see if I can get it out. But this is what I brought in. It's a half step down from the actual recording, and I don't know how we made anything out of it. Is it gonna work?
Yeah.
So that's all it was, and I don't know how anybody understood that, but Emma and Alyssa are my friends, and they can read my mind.
Listen, this day, when we started writing Best Part of You, well, poor Alyssa was sick, for one, and we were just like, we need to do something. It was like, we were just like, we need to get something done, because we have the show in a month, so me and Hillary are just going to get together and see what we can do and try to get started on something. And she brought this guitar part. I'm like, I rock with that for sure. And she had like two lines of lyrics. I'm pretty sure they're pretty well the original first two lines of the song. Still,
I had the first opening line, and you took me out of context again, and that was it. And then I had, I was the best part of you, and that was it.
And I was like, I was the best part of you. Like I love that. Like is so cool. And at this point, I never believed that I could write songs. Like, I thought I was, like, I'd never written a song before. Well, I've tried, and I thought they all sounded dumb. So I didn't think I could. So me and Hill were just, like, messing around. And suddenly, it's, like, it just started coming, like, these ideas. And, like, best part of you. Well, it's about a breakup, essentially. But it can be about a lot more than that. I feel like everybody has had a person in their life, whether it's a friend or a family member, where it's just, like, I'm trying to help you, man, and I'm trying to see the good in you, but this whole time, like, you're never gonna wait, right? I was the best part of you even when I hated myself, you know what I mean? So, like, it's about a breakup, sure, but I feel like everyone can relate to it in a lot of ways, and we kind of ran with that. We wrote the song pretty quickly, I believe. We wrote it all in one day, and then we came back with a bridge, and the next time we got together, and then we finished the song that day, I'm pretty sure. So yeah.
For your first song, when you guys contacted me right before Christmas, shortly after Christmas, don't remember when it was, but you're like, hey Ryan, I think we'd really like to put out a single in 2024. And I'm like, let me check with Greg and we'll see if that's in the cards. I check with Greg, he's like, yeah, if you're gonna involve anyone, involve Feener. He'll get these girls, that's what we need. And if Mark is on board and willing to do the recording engineer, because Mark does a litany of things for us. Sometimes he basically just, you know, acts as a recording engineer. He'll capture a vocal for Greg or what. Other times, like when he recorded Rachel's song for the Christmas album, which was a Willie Nelson tune, which again blew my mind. Mark sat down with Rachel and they come up with a guitar arrangement based on Mark's theory of kind of like a jazz inspired but country blues kind of sound, and it was amazing, and Greg loved it. He's like, I don't need to do anything with this other than just make it sound as good as humanly possible. And Greg threw in a few, you know, a little, you know, some background instrument and whatnot, but took everything that that Mark and Rachel had come up with and just rolled with it. Because, you know, so again, to my point, Mark can do this much or this much. And so he said, you know, send the girls in with him and he'll help us build this track. So when I reached out to you guys, I was like, so can we do the best part of you as your first song? You're like, yeah, obviously. So it's such a perfect fit. One of my favorite lyrics in any song ever came from Best Part of You, because the first time I heard you guys sing it was at the Rachel Cousins show. And there's a line in the song that says, I'll probably get the actual lyric wrong, but when I left your house with nothing but my last name, I was like, cold shivers right from here, right down to my little toesies, and then all the way back up again. Such a great lyric at such an opportune moment in the song. Well done. Clap, 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 small clap, all that good stuff. But yeah, so Best Part of You is coming out June the 7th. Through the magic of television, we'll put a thing down here where there's like a link or some crap in the description, where you can pre-save that song, because pre-saving, as you girls have made the world know, is very important to artists on day one. So pre-saving that song on Spotify, again, if you guys haven't already out there in listener land or in video land, please do pre-save their first song. So, new singles coming out. We've talked about everything up and until then. I think it's time to talk present day, present day, where you've now written five songs and you've sent all five songs to Greg Wells as demos. And what has Greg Wells had to say to you folks about your songs?
He likes them very much.
He does, and you're being incredibly modest. I will tell you that Greg has said as much as, how's the best way to put this? I don't want to put words in the man's mouth which aren't accurate. He said in no uncertain terms that it's very, very rare for him to have listened to five songs from any artist that he's ever worked with, five songs in a row, and loved all five of them. And he was actually stuck for a time when he has. And if you look at the resume of people who Greg Wells has worked with over the years, songwriters, it's phenomenal at any level. For five young ladies who've just started writing music together, you guys are onto something.
Five of us.
Three of you. Five songs. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Thank you for that, though.
Bad.
No,
My bad,
listen.
Brian.
If that was only the first time you corrected me, I wouldn't. I'd be very upset about it. But no, he's clearly a fan of the writing. But the other thing he's pointed out to me is that, the three girls are individually, and this is no knock on you guys individually. Individually, he said they're good singers, maybe even great singers. But when they get together for their writing and for their performing, it's beyond great. It's actually magical, is the words he's used. So again, I don't know, Emma, if you want to just elaborate on you're bubbling. So the feeling in the band right now, as you're gearing up to try and complete in 2024 some writings, in 2025 is the year of Amity when you guys are in your first year of college and you're releasing your debut album. What does that look like? And what's the feeling around the band?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, we're buzzing all the time. When we recently sent our fifth song out, and he really loved it. That was like the greatest feeling ever, because every time you send off a song, well, every time you write a song, it's like the whole group somehow forms a connection with the song. That song is like your kid, like don't tell my baby she's ugly. Like that's literally the whole vibe. Like it's of course, like Greg only wants us to put out our best music, and we would never want him to, if he didn't like a song, like that's the way that it is. But there's always nerves around sending something off, because it's like you grow a connection with the music over time, for sure. So the song we last worked on, it was a bit different, but I mean, we all loved it. And we thought the writing in it was, I mean, the world hasn't seen this song yet. The other songs the world has seen, or well, it's out there for the world to see, but this one isn't. And we particularly like the writing in this song, and Greg loved this song. And I remember we were recording the demo of this song, and we were like, oh my God, this sounds so bad. I hate this so much. Like, there's no way we're gonna send this off. Like, this is terrible. And we sent it to Ryan, and we were just like, oh, want to see what we've been cooking up lately in the bunker. And we sent it off, not for him to send to Greg, because we were like, this sounds really bad, but just to show that we're like, we are doing something, like I promise we're doing something. Anyways, Ryan liked it, and he's like, yeah, I'm saying this to Greg now. I'm like, oh my God, I think it sounds so bad. Oh my God. And we were all like freaking out, because we're all sick the day we recorded it. And Greg liked it, so like obviously that was exciting. Sorry, I'm rambling. But anyways, yeah, the energy around the band right now, super excited. Because I feel like we're finally getting the ball rolling on a lot of things we've wanted to do. Because leading up to, I guess now, to the release of Best Part of You, like we have no actual music on streaming platforms or anything for the world to listen to. So it's felt kind of, it's like we were at, it felt like we were at a standstill, even though we were writing music and performing gigs, just because it didn't feel like we were in the Newfoundland music industry. Like we were a part of the scene, but not like the actual streaming, the serious stuff that was going on. So it's nice to finally feel like we have, that we're in it a bit more now, you know what I mean? And to be writing songs, hopefully, for an album is exciting because releasing singles is really fun, but something about putting out an album is something that we've thought about for so long, and it's something that we've always wanted, so it's nice that we're finally getting the ball rolling on that, and I just think we're excited to get this whole music thing going as a part of our life and not as something that has to be put off because of school or other things. We're excited to put that first and to really dive deep into that for sure.
Yeah. And one other thing Greg have said, in no uncertain terms, is that if you guys do decide to put music first, there is an opportunity for you guys to have a huge career. So when you hear something like that, Alyssa, what's going through your mind? A chance for you from Northern Bay to have a huge career in music.
Oh, I was just thinking, oh my God, I'm going to quit school and move to Los Angeles and be a rock star. That was my first thought. Like that was, I didn't think anything else. I was like, this is it. I'm clocking out. I'm done.
two weeks of school left. I'm out. Peace out.
I don't care. I'll sell my grad dress for gas money to drive across the country. Like it doesn't matter to me. No, but seriously, you know when you're in kindergarten and they get you, right before your graduation, they get you to fill out these little sheets and it was like, what you want to be when you grow up? Mine was a rock star. So, I don't know how else to say how much I'm actually just blown out of the water here. I'm so glad to be doing it with my friends. Like, I actually could cry. Like, I'm so sentimental over it and I can't believe that me living here in Northern Bay, I'm sat down in my basement doing a podcast, you know, but we're writing and producing, well, writing music for Greg Wells to produce and the opportunity of having a career in this. And it's just, I can't believe it. I'm like, I'm just Alyssa Delaney. Like, I'm just here sat in my house, but all these great things are happening to us.
Well, you were just Alyssa Delaney until a couple of days ago. Now you're Bacaloo Idol Alyssa Delaney.
Yeah, well.
No, congratulations. No, congratulations on that as well. I know there's been one thing I got to say about, I mean, all things to one side, and this is just a subtopic, but I mean, how great are the arts in your school right now? Like, I mean, for a long time, you know, I know how high schools are. You know, if you're not an athlete, then you're not really doing anything. But at Bacaloo, where you guys have come up through, there's been some amazing singers, amazing songwriters. Last year's winner, Madison Sparks, phenomenal, just so talented, right? And different genres of music too, coming into school. Like, either one of you guys able to speak to that about why or what's going on there?
Growing up, we always had a choir, and it was just like pretty chill. But recently, in the past, I want to say 2 or 3 years, it's really kicked off. Mostly because I think there's more involvement now than there was, especially like immediately after COVID. There wasn't a whole lot of interest. And then it gradually built, and these last 2 years have been pretty jam-packed. I mean, talking about the arts, away from music, we have our drama program, which is like, especially our senior drama troupe, was the strongest it's ever been. We had acting, we had all that kind of stuff, and a great support system around it. Everyone in the community wanted to get involved for us to perform wherever we were. And then you have music. Well, our music teacher is the lovely Adia Squera, who's extremely talented herself. Yes. And she's put a lot of time into making the events at our school as open and as inclusive to anyone who wants to be involved with music as possible. I think that's such a great and beautiful thing. And we've been doing lots of awesome stuff, even with like the tech side of the arts. We have a great group called the Lighthouse Project at our school, and they edit and record videos, and they do photography for arts at school. So it's super exciting and fun. And there's lots of value on the arts at Baccalaureate right now.
I'm gonna kick it over to Hillary for a minute and just touch on that Lighthouse Project and the impact that Scott Legg, who runs said project, has had on you guys, as not just on the AV side of things, but on art as an artist as well, to know that you've got that level of support in the community.
Scott Legg is excellent, and now I've never heard talking to man until he come to Baccalaureate to do the Lighthouse Project. And as soon as we met him, it was immediate open arms. He had heard about the band through our principal, Mr. Saxby, but he hadn't heard anything else other than there was a band of girls going around school. And we sat down, three of us, and our friend Anna March sat down with Scott as well, and we were showing him some videos back and forth. And the first thing that came to his mind, he's like, I have to record a music video for you guys. Like, that was one of the first thing that he said. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but the main point here is that Scott is so eager.
Mm.
And he is there for all support, and he came out for our own Christmas show that we had down in St. Andrews by the Sea. Very kind of him, but he's back and forth between a couple of schools now, I believe. And it seems like everybody just has the same thing to say about Scott, and he's excellent to deal with, incredibly just overexcited about everything in the best way possible. And that's what you need. You need people in the media to keep the music industry alive. Whether people know it or not, I mean, like, it's not just performing and it's not just putting out music. And along with Scott Legg, like, there are many other great people who are working on the media side of it. You have people like Dean Clark and Zach Snow, and you have photographers. Like, we recently worked with Caitlin Forward in St. John's for the photo shoot for our single. Perfect. Amazing. I love her. And it's not just them. It's everybody. We haven't had the pleasure of knowing everybody yet. But there is, in fact, a scene outside of the music industry that is for media for the industry.
Mm.
And I think it is really, it's neat. And Scott is an excellent addition to it, I think.
Yeah, Scott's got some really cool things coming down the pipe as well. I can't divulge right now, but it's even further into the singer-songwriter stuff. I had an hour meeting with Scott, it was this past week. And he's got some exciting stuff that's going to benefit, in particular, you guys, other young artists in Newfoundland, and Trinity Hall and City Cove Records is going to be a big part of that. So it's very exciting. It's refreshing to see someone who gives a crap, a flying frig about young people, because I don't think that there's enough out there who legitimately care. So to see Scott kind of taking the bull by the horns and saying, listen, if you don't care now, you'll care later. You know, you'll care when I will make you care about these people. And that's the vibe Scott gives off. And again, big shout out to Scott. We've become great friends over the last year through your guys' project, the Lighthouse Project, that is, and Trinity Hall, and the quality of stuff that he's starting to put out at no cost to us at Trinity Hall or you guys. He covered the Next Generation show that we put off at Trinity Hall, which you guys were one of the headliners for the show. And the quality of video work that was kicked out from that particular show is worthy of better quality sound, to be completely honest. We recorded the sound on just video, you know, Canon video cameras, and the video surpasses the quality of sound. Not that there's anything wrong with how you guys sounded in the room, but I mean, capturing that and making it worthwhile. Greg was like, we need to do better as Trinity Hall and SCR if Scott Legg is going to step up his game like he did. And since then, we've invested in, or well, actually, it was donated by Personos, which is a company owned by Fender, Sam Fender Guitars. They've donated a new, oh yeah, absolutely. These guys, the piece of equipment that we're working with now at Trinity Hall for recording live sound is state of the art. We can record everything right from the soundboard to a ship that off to Greg in LA. He can mix the tracks along with Scott's video, and then we can put it a world-class product. So these are the kind of things that are real exciting to get to be a part of. But I don't want to drag this on all night. We've been on for like, almost 45 minutes. Wowza. Anything else you guys want to leave with before we sign off? Anything else do you want to talk about, or anything that's bothering you? Anything, any bones you got to pick with the world? Now's your chance.
I want to tell everybody to pre-save our song. You can go to our Facebook. You can go to our TikTok. You can go to our Instagram. On all of it, it's the band Amity. Even though we're just Amity, we're not the band Amity. We're just Amity. But in our bio, you can find a link tree. And on the top of it, it says pre-save best part of you. And you got to go in and put in your Spotify information. And if you don't do it, I don't know, I'll tell you. Can't help
you're
you.
Lost. We'll write a song about you and diss you. So true. You'll become a target. You'll become a target if you don't pre-save the song. We're watching.
I keep telling people that that nobody is safe when the Amity album comes out, because there's going to be a song about everybody. If you think there's not a song, you're thinking wrong.
Dig deeper. There's one that's about you.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Brian, you're next.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, ladies, I don't want to keep you all night. You guys got school in the morning, which still blows my mind that you're this talented at the age of still being in school. Stick with it. You got a couple weeks left. Congratulations on your debut album. Congratulations on graduating high school. Congratulating on getting your driver's license for those of you who passed. Show of hands.
That was me. I'm driving the tour bus.
Yeah, fair enough. But no, seriously, girls, again, this is just an upstart podcast to try and get the word out. So thanks so much for taking the time and sharing the bench at Downey's Bank. Have a good one.
Thanks for having us, Ryan.
Thank you. Bye, people.